morning and welcome back. Thank you, Aaron, for that update on the news. So today I told you we had two great guests, and we've got Dr. Bryce Tiller and we got Ted Willich from NLP. So Dr. Tiller is in here in the studio with us, and he's going to share with us some of his personal challenges that led to him being obviously a very successful ER doctor. Bryce, so tell us a little bit about yourself and welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me on the show. Well, let me start out by saying that the path going on to medical school and becoming a physician is not an easy one. But one of the things that I've always thought is that time is going to pass anyway. So if there's something that you want to do, whether it's going to law school, going to medical school, starting a business, it's going to take 3 or 5 years to get that done, or 10 years or 15 years.
That's exactly right.
The time's
going
to pass anyway, so you might as well do what you want to do and live your dream.
Yeah. Do you know, on one of our previous shows, we had Dr. Brandon Allen. Do you happen to know him?
Brandon Anderson?
Brandon Anderson. You're
yes.
Exactly right. Brandon Anderson, the fishing guy.
We did residency together.
Awesome. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And he talked about that same thing, about the struggle in college and how, you know, when other people were having a good time and going out on Thursdays, he was having to study and be prepared. And it wasn't just the smartest and best and brightest in the that wanted to be doctors that made it. It was the people that worked the hardest and put in that thing. And, you know, obviously our theme of our show is the hard worker. And so obviously you're a super hard worker. And you got there, but was there anything that, you know, as a younger man, that maybe was a struggle or a challenge that you'd like to share?
Sure. So in my story, when I was 12 years old, I went into foster care.
Wow.
Parents were dead,
so
that was a situation that completely changed my life. As you can imagine, that would just upend everything.
I can't
everything.
Imagine. That's just
and
unbelievable.
Up until that point. Honestly, I don't think I had ever been to a complete week of school. I always took at least one day off on my own just because I could. My dad was an alcoholic and my mother wasn't very good at mothering and nobody was watching me and I could do what I wanted to do. So
wow.
I decided 4 days a week is good enough for me. And I always could do the work and I was always smart, but I never did my best. But when that happened, I realized that, boy, Bryce, when you turn 18... you're in this foster care thing and they're taking care of you now and you have a place to live. But when you turn 18, you're out.
You're just on your own.
You're on the street, kid. And so at that time, there wasn't
That's got to be just an amazing wake-up call, right? That day I turn 18, I truly not only become a man, but I'm 100% responsible for my own destiny at that point.
Right. So most people who were in foster care, at the time, they didn't have any assistance for people who were coming out. There's like a transition period now where I think Florida gives foster kids some money to get along while they're in a transition period, 18 to 21 or 22. But at the time, there was nothing. Most people would go into the service or illegal activities, dealing drugs, crime, or retail, or, you know, construction.
So what happened? What made you decide, I'm going to be different?
Yeah, at that point, I said, I don't want to live a life like that. I want to do something more with my life, so I'm going to use education. So instead of taking one day off a week, I studied hard. I went to every class. I did all my work and then some. I got straight A's from there on out and then went on to college. And I wasn't quite sure what I wanted to do when I went to college. I was thinking... I did want to work with people. I was grateful for the system that there was foster care around. I know in some countries they don't have that. And
right.
if you're an orphan or you're a 12-year-old homeless kid in Brazil, because there's nothing to help you at that point. Hmm. So I knew I wanted to work with people, and I liked science, and that kind of gravitated me towards medicine.
Gotcha.
And then I opted to go on the route for medical school. And then so one of the things, what we were talking about earlier, like, you come across a decision all the time. Should I go out on Friday night and get drunk or do whatever, or should I study? And so the thing I would always think, does this take me closer to my path or does it take me off my path?
Wow.
You know, does it take, everyone's going to Vegas for the weekend, but I know I have a midterm coming up. Is it going to, it's going to be fun to go to Vegas, but is that going to take me further away from the path I want to go on? Or is this going to, you know, or what should I do here?
So, and that's something Pete talked about a few shows ago, was the, everybody needs goals and dreams and objectives, right? But just having those alone doesn't get you there, right? It requires the hustle, the commitment, the drive and the aptitude and the hard work to get there. And so that's you know, what you
right.
what you're sharing.
And it applies to whatever. You want to be the best business person, you want to cultivate the contacts, you want to be a great musician, you got to put in the effort.
Yep. Get time in the seat. Well, that's fantastic. So we had met with Jamie earlier today, and she talked about, you know, kind of career path of a scribe and how a lot of their scribes end up as doctors. Do you know Jamie? Have you met Jamie?
I do know Jamie. She's a wonderful woman, and I miss her dearly. I haven't seen her in years.
That is awesome. And so have you ever used a scribe?
I use scribes personally all the time, and I love them. I used to be with the Scribe Company.
That's awesome.
As the medical director, as you remember.
Yeah.
And so when I was applying to medical school, you needed to have some volunteer work in the hospital.
Okay.
So it was, you know, about one third of the application process was extracurricular activities, including research or volunteer work. And so the path that everyone took when you were in college is you would go find a hospital and volunteer there, push patients around, try to get some face time with doctors.
Candy striper.
Something along those lines. And so that's what I did. But now they've got this great path where they can be one-on-one with a physician, really see patients, really get in there and learn the medical record, medical jargon, see some serious cases. We had I don't want to talk about that on the air, but see serious cases. We'll just leave it at that.
Yeah.
And they get paid for it.
Wow.
Yeah, so that's nice. And they can get letters of recommendation from physicians.
And then, you know, then they can decide whether they really have what it takes to grow up to be what you are already.
Right.
That's pretty amazing.
Yeah, I was going to give some specifics about a case, but what I'll say is that you get to see a lot of serious trauma, gunshot wounds. You see people with some serious injuries. You deliver babies.
Oh, my gosh.
You know, you see it all.
They see it all. So they can quickly determine that it's not Grey's Anatomy and it's not all fun and games. It's real life and what the doctors really experience.
True.
Very good. All right. Well, that's awesome, Dr. Tiller. If you'll stay here with us, I'd like to talk to Ted a little bit. And Ted, you're the president of NLP Logix. So tell us a little bit about NLP Logix. What do y'all do?
So thank you for having me on, and happy Sunday morning. And so NLP Logix is a local Jacksonville-based AI company or machine learning company. Basically, what that means is we automate. We teach machines to do what humans do. And we've been at it about 7 years and are really starting to hit our stride now, just over the past couple years with really now the proliferation of AI and machine learning. People are starting to understand it and really understand the value prop. And so, we've really begun to hit our stride and are enjoying it.
Well, that's fantastic. Obviously, AI is the hot buzzword of the day, right? It used to be machine learning. Now it's artificial intelligence. And everybody's moving that way. And I know you guys are working on a project. It's kind of top secret with us. But that project is going to revolutionize the space, right? It takes all the work that the recruiters do and the sourcers do. And because most people may not know, but being a staffing person is like being a sports agent for the regular person, right? So you come to an agency like S&I and you say, I'd love to be such and such, and here's my background and here's my resume, and we go out and find that position for you, find that company, and then negotiate that deal. So you're not in the awkward position of interviewing for a position and then also trying to negotiate your best deal, right? It's kind of tough. So that's what, you know, Pete, the job guy does, right, for a living every day. He's a sports agent for regular folks. So with your really unique tools that you have, these algorithms, tell us about some of the like really cool customers that you're working with, and kind of let's kind of start in the future. Start now. Who are you working with, and what kind of things is AI doing for those folks?
Okay, great. Well, you mentioned it, the work we're doing with S&I, and it's a lot of fun working with your group, folks like Brandy, just real professionals, and really understand the business. So taking the technology, taking the ability to teach the computer to read something like a job requirement and then bounce it up against literally millions of resumes and then have the machine understand that this job requirement matches really well with this candidate, and then taking the mundane out of it, and that's really the theme of all of our customers, is really automating the mundane so the humans can do the work that humans do really well.
And it's a lot more than just like we think about keyword searches or Boolean searches. It's totally different than that. Explain a little bit about that differentiation, and then I'll let you get back and talk about Mayo and some of the other cool things that
Sure.
you're doing.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So right now, traditionally, if you're going to query a database or if you're going to do a search, us as humans are going to do the Boolean search, like Alex said, you know, keywords and maybe combine some together. But really what's happened over the last 4 or 5 years with the tremendous advances in computing power, leveraging like GPU technology, you're able to...
Nobody knows what that is. What is that?
It is a... If you've ever played Xbox and saw the green blinking light, that's a graphic processing unit.
Gotcha.
So in other words, it's able to do a lot more than a CPU, which is a central processing unit, which most computers run on. And so what's basically happened is some eggheads in Stanford about 4 or 5 years ago figured out that these graphic processing units that are in video games and giving you this high resolution experience while you're gaming can also be utilized to teach computers to think. And
wow.
It's called deep neural networks. Neural networks have been around for years, but they were notorious for just memorizing the data. Mm. And really what happened is the computing power got to the point where instead of just a simple Boolean search, now the computer understands the context.
So give us a quick down and dirty example of what a keyword or Boolean search would produce in reading resumes versus, say, a computer that's or a human that's able to read a resume that would weed them out.
Sure. So the human would put something in, like if you're looking for like a sales director. And a keyword would be driver, like drive sales, driven, something
mm-hmm.
like that.
Sure, sure.
The Boolean search is going to bring up, you know, your sales drivers, people that have that
commercial vehicle drivers.
They're going to bring up truck drivers, gotcha. Might bring up Tiger Woods because he hits a driver. I
gotcha.
Mean, there's going to be things
so
like that.
So old computer searches would bring up anything related that's even unrelated, whereas a human would recognize that quickly and say, that's not what I'm looking for. And so your NLP algorithm sorts that out as well.
Absolutely.
Gotcha.
The natural language processing portion of it understands the context in which the word
gotcha.
Is said.
Gotcha.
And really anybody that's talked to Alexa or Siri over the last, you know, 2 or 3 years, you know, how it was 2 or 3 years ago wasn't very good. It's getting smarter and smarter, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's learning. And that's really what this is. That's a core technology.
So you're the next Skynet. Is that what you're telling us?
We're working on it.
So other than tell us about the Mayo thing, because this is unrelated to staffing, but tell us about that partnership and kind of what you're doing in the medical space.
Sure. So there's a couple examples. One is about a year ago, we signed a joint product development agreement with Mayo Clinic to develop algorithms to read images, MRIs, CTs. We're working with Dr. David Freeman, a neurologist, on an algorithm to identify strokes and the type of strokes that they are. I am not a physician, but we do have a really good data science team, and it's the combination of the human teaching the computer how to read these. Now you can do it much, much faster.
Gotcha.
An algorithm can read a low-dose CT scan, identify the type of stroke very, very, very quickly, whereas if it was a rural hospital or they didn't have access to a radiologist quickly, you know, that's time.
Yeah, and time's critical.
Time is critical.
Dr. Tiller, how critical is reading those scans and making a determination if somebody has a stroke on the outcome of the patient?
So there's a saying that we have, which is time is brain. So every minute that ticks by and you have a stroke that's currently occurring, you're going to have more and more brain that's lost. So the quicker that we're able to evaluate and recognize that a stroke is happening, the quicker we can get treatment started. And that saves the person from losing their ability to speak or losing their ability to swallow and eat or walk. So it's life-changing and life-saving.
Wow, that's amazing. So that's some of the cool stuff. So the theme of the show is you have to have a setback to have a comeback, and everybody's had a struggle or a challenge. How about you, Ted? Did you live the golden life all these times?
So I had about the opposite childhood as Dr. Tillerson. I had grew up in Southern California, although I had the same school schedule, so I would go 4 days a week. But I grew up in Southern California, South Orange County, a place called Mission Viejo. Great parents, great siblings. We had a great family. You know, everything good. Nothing to complain about at all. So absolutely the opposite experience. Had a really, really good time in high school. Really good time. And so I actually was not admitted into San Diego State, which at that time was quite an accomplishment. In fact, my grades were very bad. But got into a college and
probably ended up at University of Florida, I'm guessing, right?
Ooh. And I'm not even – they wouldn't have taken me. But went into college on probation, had to, you know, get my grades up. But I was not pre-med or pre-law. I went pre-infantry. Which means I was a history major, went in the Marine Corps for 4 years. Really, I think that helped me, you know, ground me a little bit, because you just have to, you know, you got some responsibility.
Learn how to work a little bit harder.
Got to work, a little bit harder and such. And then when I got out, started a company with my dad. We had a phenomenal run. You know, it was a startup. It was two dudes in a garage in Oxnard, California. And at the height, the company was doing, over 20 years, it was doing almost, $200 million annually.
Wow.
A lot of employees. And then probably it was about 10 years ago, we had a couple things happen. Had a very, very bad IP theft.
Oof.
So we had an IT guy that worked for me, stole some.
What is an IP theft?
Intellectual property.
Okay.
So the company, we had developed some very unique ways to do some things, and he took it. And and ultimately, it took the company down. And so
that's a pretty big setback from golden boy at a couple hundred million in revenue to everything's gone. And
yep.
So you had to suck it up, and now you're on the comeback trail. So NLP is obviously doing very well. Doing a lot of projects for very big companies, some you can't talk about, some you can, and working across multiple fields, right? Not just healthcare, but the HR staffing space and anything else?
Yeah, we a couple other industries. One that I'm probably, someone asked me earlier saying, kind of what's one project that you're most proud of using AI, and that's we have a company up in the Midwest, up in Wisconsin, that does a lot of business process outsourcing for big companies, and we've been training algorithms to automate a lot of those processes, and they actually outsource a lot of work to India and to overseas, and just in the last 6 months, they've been able to reduce that reliance on foreign workers and bring that back to the U.S. because the stuff that the computer can't understand, it takes a human that understands an industry that can make an interpretation rather than kind of outsourcing and cheaping. So it's one of those things where I felt I'm proud of the fact that we've been able to bring some
bringing the jobs home.
Yep.
Right? Yep. Making America great again. Go, Bryce. What you got?
Question for you. So you are 30-something years old, and your company tanked.
Mm-hmm.
You're in California. You went from the high life to nothing. How did you restart? How did you restart your life, you know, at that age, and then make this huge company out of nothing?
So so we were actually here in Jacksonville. We had moved that other company here about 15 years ago. But once it tanked, it's very similar to your situation. So, you know, you're 18 years old, you have two choices. You can either go out drinking or doing whatever, or you go to the military, or you could, you know, you have that point where you can make some decisions, and then, or just say, you know, something, I'm not going to you know, go crawl in the corner and you know, get in the fetal position and give up. And so it was just one of those, hey, that's it. You got to do what you got to do. So I'd say that was, you know, very similar to your situation. I just said,
so hey, you either have that internal fortitude, that drive in you to keep going and to do it again, or you just don't, right? You would have never done it the first time if you didn't have that. Bryce would have never been successful and done what he did if he didn't have that internally inside of him to do that. So I'm going to ask you the million-dollar question, because everybody's on the radio, everybody's listening, we're all sitting here waiting. We need to know, are you hiring?
Are we? Is NLP Logics hiring?
Yes.
We are. We are. We've expanded our staff quite a bit over the last couple years. And with us, expansion is also more about compute power. So we've bought a lot more hardware, a lot more computers.
What kind of folks would you be interested in hiring if they called in today? What kind of folks would that look like?
So the folks that we look for are software engineers that also have strong math and stats background. And then I would also say that we do look for people with grit. There's a great book by Angela Duckworth talks about grit, and we look for people that not only have the software and the math chops, but someone that has done something like retail or, and one of our best employees, a guy named Ben Webster, he sold cell phones. But he's also a brilliant statistician, so he has that emotional intelligence to interact with a client and be able to translate some heavy tech.
And I know I was over at your office about a week ago, and when I walked through, there was a whole bunch of youngsters in there. Tell us about that. Tell us about that internship program pretty quickly.
Yeah, absolutely. So we started a program about 3 years ago for the rising Duval County Public School seniors. So these are kids that are rising seniors. We focus on those high schools where maybe the kids don't have the resources or a chance, and we bring them in for a 5-week boot camp. We give them a laptop. We train them on the software to be able to do advanced analytics and machine learning. So after 5 weeks, these kids know how to build a machine learning algorithm, and it's fun to watch them, you know, have the pride and move on.
Well, that's pretty awesome. So thank you guys for joining us in the studio today. And I want to really, it was amazing hearing both of your stories. And for those of you out there that are looking for one of those analytics type jobs with NLP, you can reach out to Pete the Job Guy and on his website or at the SNI, and he'll hook you up with Ted. And if you have children that are rising seniors that maybe want a part of a program, they may be able to apply and go into an internship next summer with NLP. So thank you, guys. I appreciate it. And y'all have a great Sunday.